I do appreciate you staying through, and I want to talk about our vision as a church. You know, in this passage that we read today and that we've looked at for the last several weeks, but certainly today, we see Mary and Joseph, the wise men, all were giving direction by God through visions and through dreams that they were given. And you say, well, my goodness, David, I've never had a vision like that. I've never had a dream. Is that what we need to expect? Now, I want to share this with Proverbs 29:18. You guys will love this. KJV 1900, all right? It says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, KJV is one of the few that actually translates that, where there is no vision, because really it's where there is no revelation of truth is what the writer was saying. But that's a good word, and I want us to understand that, because in those days, God did speak through dreams and through visions, and today he gives us the revelation of his truth through his word. And so as a church, where do we find our vision? How do we know our direction? How do we know what we are to be as a believer? How am I supposed to live and act as a believer? How are we supposed to live and act as a church? And we'll find that in God's holy word. And so I want to draw your attention to our second passage in your handout this morning or in your insert. And it's Acts chapter 1. I believe I have only verses 7 and 8 in your insert this morning, but I'm actually going to start in verse 6. It says, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? Jesus was born. He had lived his life in ministry. He had shared about the gospel. He was nailed to a cross. He died for our sins. He was laid in the tomb. And on the third day, he rose again and now appearing to his disciples for a final time. They ask him that question, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom of Israel at this time? Picking up in verse 7 with your insert. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And looking back on last week, we talked about and said, listen, Jesus is coming again. He came in that manger, but folks, he's coming again on the clouds. He is coming, and we should be prepared. But here we see where Jesus has a fear, and his fear was this, that the disciples would just sit in that upper room. They just sit there, and Jesus, are you coming? When are you coming? You said you're coming back. Is that today, tomorrow? We're going to cross our legs. We're going to sit in this upper room and sing Kumbaya and just wait on you to come, right? And that was Jesus' fear, is that they would do just that, just looking up to heaven and waiting for that return. And look what he tells them in verse 8. He's listen, here's the thing. First of all, I want you to see this. I'm going to empower you with the Holy Spirit. He said, you need to know this. I'm gone, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is coming to empower you as a believer. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this, don't you yourselves know that you are God's temple and that the Spirit of God lives in you. Folks, you need to understand this, regardless if you've had some warped theology in the past. Listen, when you are saved, when you receive the gospel message that Jesus Christ died for you, when you are a believer, when you are saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. You hear me? When you're saved, you receive the Holy Spirit, every believer. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. In him you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. The Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. Listen, when you heard it and when you acted on it, when you believed, you received the Holy Spirit. Folks, you receive it when you're saved. And Jesus reminds them, listen, you're going to get this deposit. And it's for a purpose. In church, Northside family, let me tell you something. If you're a believer, if you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit for a plan and for a purpose. Secondly, he says this, not only will you be empowered by the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, you have a job to do. You're going to be my witnesses. He says this, listen, fear and paralysis by analysis is not an option. I'm not going to let you sit in this room and say, well, my goodness, they're killing all the Christians. We better stay put. Right? We better, shh. That, you know, that's our persecution today, isn't it? They're not going to beat you. They're not going to kill you. You may get a little heat at your job or in your school or whatever, but you know what our persecution is today? Celebrate Christmas. Let's just call it holidays, but don't talk about Jesus. And don't use that word Messiah. Church, that's our persecution. That's our silence. When the church is quiet, the Lamb is silenced. He says, you have a job to do. Don't sit here in fear. Don't be scared. Don't be paralyzed by, paralysis of analysis. Well, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? One day we'll figure that out. Now he's saying, listen, go get to work. Go be a witness. Jesus said this. It was not an option. You will receive power, and you will be my witnesses. You see that? Was this an optional? Was this a rhetorical? Was this a question? No, Jesus said, you are going to receive the Holy Spirit, and you are going to be my witnesses. You know, shepherds, we looked at a couple weeks ago. They had that great proclamation. And what did they go around? They told everyone what they had seen and what they had heard. They told everybody, listen to what the angel said to us. But then they followed that up after they left the manger, didn't they? They said, and let me tell you about what we've experienced ourselves. And see, that's our message, to go to be witnesses to what you have heard about Jesus Christ, but what you have experienced about with a relationship with Christ as well. And we've spent the entire month of December basically looking at the birth of the Messiah, the Savior of the world, God incarnate, right? God in body. We've spent the entire month looking at that. Let me ask you a question. Who are the people God used? In all those stories over the last several weeks, who are the people he used? A young, poor, unwed married couple to be the mother and father, earthly parents of Jesus. A rejected, low-class shepherds to be the first heralds, the first ones to see and to share that good news. And now some hippie stargazers, these wise men, to go, right? Look who God uses. Not kings. No, they're the enemies. Not the religious elite. They stood against Jesus. Not the aristocrats. Jesus wasn't born in the greatest house in all of Bethlehem, but in a stable. There was no room in the end. He didn't use king. He didn't use the religious elites, not even the aristocrats. He used ordinary, even secondary, low-class citizens. There's no excuse. You don't have to be all this and then some in order to be a herald of the good news. We all have that same calling to go, to be a herald, to be a witness, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. This wasn't a command just for the disciples. This one didn't start and end in that upper room. This was ongoing command. It's not only for missionaries today, and it's not just for pastors who stand in pulpits. It was and is a command for every believer. Regardless of your background, regardless of how much or how little you know, regardless of where you are in your walk with the Lord, this is a command for every believer. Third thing he says, we see here, that Jesus said, you're going to go to Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria that he puts together there, and then to the end of the earth. Now, Jerusalem, he's speaking to their hometown. You're going to start where you're from, right? I'm not asking you to go away. I want you to just share it where you are in your hometown. Go home first. He carries it out then. He says, but you're also going to go to Judea. You're going to get outside of your hometown. You're going to get into the farther regions of your hometown, all the way through Judea. But then he says, and Samaria. See, they would have bypassed Samaria. He says, okay, I'll do it here. I'll do it in Smyrna. I ain't going to Laverne. I'll share here in my Sunday school class. I'll do it over here in my subdivision. I ain't going downtown with that. Not doing it. Jesus said, guys, it's not an option. It's not an option. Jerusalem, Judea, and don't forget about Samaria. Samaria is the other side of the tracks. Samaria is the difficult places. Samaria is the forgotten people. They weren't Jew. They weren't Gentile. They were a mixed breed that were looked down upon by everybody. People literally would walk around their town to avoid going through it, even though it was an easier route. And Jesus says, you're going there too. Spells it out for them. Going everywhere, all the way to the end of the earth. Now, that was a heck of a statement in those days, wasn't it? I mean, to tell these men, right, in 28, 30 AD that you're going to go to the end of the earth? That's not a big deal for us today, is it? The church of Jesus Christ, the church in the year 2020 is without excuse. God can use anyone, and it's never been easier to go to the ends of the earth than it is for us. Well, so what's our vision then as a church? I want to turn your attention to the bulletin this morning. And you'll see, I couldn't resist that this is the year 2020, right? I mean, you can't resist that with a vision statement, right? I mean, it's just there. You got to pick the low-hanging fruit. And so you'll see the eye exam chart on the cover, and it's got our mission statement there in the eye exam. Hopefully you figured that out, but if not, it's sharing and showing the good news of Jesus. Sharing and showing the good news of Jesus. This is what we do as a church. This is why we exist as a church, to both share, to tell about the good news, and to show it, to live it in our communities and throughout the world. I want to invite you now to open it up. On the inside cover there, you're going to see our missions statement. This is how we carry out our mission. I want to read that to you. Northside Baptist Church, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is committed to doing our part to fulfill the Great Commission found in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. We believe that we are called to spread the gospel of salvation by sharing and showing the good news of Jesus to everyone. Our mission field begins at home and spreads throughout the world. Our philosophy is to both partner with existing churches and plant new churches in our community and throughout our world. The purpose of both our church partnerships and planting is to teach biblical truth, which transforms lives. Folks, this is a statement that comes after a year. I know I shared with you, I have been sharing for some time now about the Northside Baptist Mission Advisory Team that we put together. We have been meeting. Folks, this statement comes after months and months of prayer, of fasting, of seeking the Lord, of study. And we are not only excited to share this, but we are confident that this comes as direction from God to our church. We are confident of that. And we are excited then how we are going to facilitate that. Well, how do we do it? You need to know we'll do it strategically. We will be very strategic in how we carry this out. You know, I often say leadership is getting the right things done and administration is getting things done right. Well, to carry this out, to carry this mission, this purpose out, it's going to take both and it's going to take all of us so that we can be the missional church that God desires Northside to be. You'll see also in the inside cover there is an image, 2020, 2021, 2022. And here's how we're going to carry that out. In 2020, for the next year, our focus is going to be on home missions, home being Murfreesboro and throughout the state of Tennessee. You know, one of the saddest things in the world, I can go to South Dakota, people heard about Northside Baptist Church. I can go to Nigeria, where we've got a church there and a school and other things. They've heard about Northside Baptist Church. I can go to other places, and yet I can go downtown Murfreesboro, and they don't know who we are. See, it's got to begin at home, and everything else is an overflow out of that. So we are going to begin. So for 2020, we're going to look at the relationships, the partnerships that we currently have, and those that we want to cultivate as we try to reach our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For an entire year, we're going to focus here at home. In the year 2021, then we're going to continue our partnerships here at home, but we're going to expand that throughout the nation, and throughout the U.S. We look both home and national missions. And then in the year 2022, we're going to continue with our home, continue with the partnerships that we've cultivated and created here at home, continue with those throughout our nation, and then also reach the ends of the earth with the gospel. That is our plan, and I know for some, maybe that's difficult to think that we would actually scale back. Why would we do that? Folks, because we need to be focused, and we need to be intentional, and it needs to begin at home. It needs to begin at home, and that's true for all of us. It doesn't matter if you tell other people about Christ. Have you told your family about Christ? Amen? And it's true for us as a church. Are we doing the work here? I'm excited to say that not only is this a philosophy, but this is something that we will be able to carry out. You voted unanimously on a new church budget last week. In that church budget, there is nearly $200,000 that's being set aside for our missional work. And in that $200,000, you need to know that not only will Northside continue to be one of the top givers throughout the state of Tennessee to Southern Baptist entities, but we also have put in place a means for us to do direct support also to church planters, to missionaries that we will carry local throughout our country and throughout the world as we carry out this missional statement. So the first time, not only will we be given to the Southern Baptist entities, but we'll also be supporting those that we work directly with. And they will be coming and sharing, and we'll hear those reports from those missionaries and those church planters. And your gifts are what are making that possible. You know, in fact, I have some notes here. Our Lottie Moon Christmas offering just on our Christmas Eve service was $6,300. But our total Lottie Moon was $15,000, just to Lottie Moon. Giving our total missions, now we're still closing out our books, and the annual report may look a few dollars different. It won't be much. But in 2019, the total missions, that's money that was given that left this place to go to the mission fields, was in excess of $250,000, $250,000. And for 2020, that number will likely be over $300,000. So we do that by beginning first at home. Do you know we live in one of the fastest growing cities in the country year after year after year? And you know, because of that, I did research just this week. It says that only 40% of people who live in Murfreesboro have a religious affiliation. 40%. State average is 56. Folks, we have the world coming to us, and we're losing to attrition. We must begin at home. I hear some great news. In 2019, here at Northside Baptist Church, throughout the year, and not including today's service, and I met a bunch of visitors today, and I'm sorry you're having to sit through this. This is kind of a family meeting thing, but I hope you understand what kind of church we are and also what we believe about God's word and calling and mission. But let me share this with you. In the year 2019, we had more than 400 guests and visitors through our services throughout the year, more than 400 people. During that time, we saw 71 people become members, additional members of Northside Baptist Church, and baptized 29. And folks, we will see those numbers increase in 2020. We're continuing with our feasibility studies. I shared that in another meeting where we're looking at our debt retirement. We're looking at additions to our building that just help us carry out the mission and ministries better. And we're also looking at multi-services, whatever that looks like, whether that's multiple at different times, whether that's simulcast at the same time, whether that's, if there's a way to do it and pull it off, we'll do it. Because here's the thing, whatever it takes. Amen? Whatever it takes. Our call is to reach the people around us, to begin at home, to reach the people across the street, to reach the people in our community, and whatever it takes. Do I have to give up a seat? Do I have to scoot in? Do I have to go down the hall? Do I have to go at a different time? Then I'll do it. Why? Because we have a mission to share the good news with as many as we can. And so we continue in our feasibility studies. What's that going to look like, David? I don't know. It's going to look like whatever it takes to reach more people for the gospel. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, my time is way up, but I do want to share that. Folks, God has given us a vision. He has planted Northside for a purpose. That's been evident from day one, before we ever had a building, before I was ever even thought of in this place, from the very first people who met in homes, who met in chapels, who met in a high school. God has had a plan. You look through the years at all He has done for the church, and folks, we're here to say it's only the beginning. It's not, this is it. Man, we're a big church now. We can do what we want to do. No, we're on the cusp of even greater things if we'll just grab hold of the calling that God has given us to say, I am a missionary of the gospel. I'm a herald like the angels, like the shepherd, to share the good news. And as a church, we're going to do whatever it takes to do just that. Northside Baptist Church, will you join me in that effort? I want to ask you now, I want to ask everybody to stand. And I want to have a time of prayer. And during this time, you can come forward and pray. You can jump on the stage, get in the choir loft for all I care. Wherever you're most comfortable, you may group up with others around you now. But I want to ask you to do me a favor. Visitors alike, let's take this time and pray. Maybe you're praying for your walk with the Lord, and that's fine. But can I ask you to do something? Will you pray for the church? Will you pray for Northside? Pray for 2020. Pray that we are going to be the missional church that the New Testament tells us we should be and the one that we're saying we're going to be, that God would empower us. Just like individually we have the Holy Spirit, He is going to empower us as a church to carry out that great commission, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Will you pray for us? Pray for our debt. Pray for our missions and the opportunities as we look home and then eventually across the nation and throughout the world. Pray that God would reveal those partnerships and relationships to us. Pray for your staff and pray for your volunteers. Pray for those who lead and serve.